Man Alive, Michael Katz, DJ Journal. He was on hand to witness the glory that was Trinidad Chambliss. I would like to open with a prayer. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to pray. Hey, you are a proud USC man from California.
Proud's doing a lot of lifting there, but...
You have seen a lot. You have seen the entire Lane Kiffin era. You have seen a miraculous playoff run. You know, the other sports have been good at times. But have you ever, as anything, it just means more than being in a Pittsville, I think I have that right, courtroom for Trinidad Chambliss.
You know, first of all, I live in Oxford. I don't stray too far from it. You know, there's a lot of small towns out here. But I'm going to be completely honest. I did not know Pittsburgh, Mississippi existed until 2 weeks before the hearing. It's about 200 people ish. I think as of the latest census, maybe up to 300. Not sure. Wikipedia is kind of lacking on some of its stats, but you have like one of the biggest situations in college football of the year happening in this town where there might have been more restaurants, but there was a Mexican place right across from the courthouse, and then there was, I think, a fantastic business venture. It was a combination tanning salon and deli called Tanelli. And I didn't go. I wasn't really sure if I trusted the selection. But if I'm ever down there again, I think I'm going to have to, because man, nothing beats a turkey sandwich and getting some sun. It was surreal, man. I used to do breaking news. I've covered murder trials. I've covered a lot of really intense stuff. And I don't think I've ever seen a judge talk for an hour and a half, giving his final verdict, decision, whatever you want to call it. It was all, it was pretty bizarre. And then they had a sitting in the jurors box, which also made me feel really weird. I was like, what am I supposed to be doing here? I'm not judging this. I'm just here to get some quotes. It was pretty bizarre, but, all things considered, ended up being a pretty good day for Ole Miss and for Trinidad.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even know where to start here, but I do have a list of things. So, I mean, this is a roughly how many people can fit in a courtroom of this size, and was it at capacity?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think it was kind of like pews behind it. So I think it's like 150. It was like the biggest one they had. So it was decent size. Interestingly, a couple of local classes took their students there, which I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, obviously, like, let them see how it's done. Also, like, if you're a teacher and you're an Ole Miss fan, like, it's a good way to go see, check up on the proceedings. So there were a couple buses that were unloading. I'm like, what is happening here? Like, anyway, so then there was that, and there's obviously family. There were a lot of reporters, and then obviously a lot of lawyers on both sides. So it was a capacity. I don't think that place was necessarily ready for as much attention. I mean, thank goodness they found some power strips for us. They were prepared, because I mean, that ended up being like a 10-hour ordeal. Listen, I love my MacBook, but I don't think it was going to make it without some power. So luckily they were able to support us for that kind of stuff, but there are a lot of cameras and, I don't know how used to the sort of attention, the small town of Mississippi is. Again, this was the story in sports for the day. It was pretty wild.
And true or false, Trinidad was asked about the final play of the Miami game. Was that pass interference? Was that on the stand?
It was. That was under oath. That was under oath. That was on the stand. Yes. Yeah, no, I was sitting there and I was like, we're really doing this, aren't we? We are going all in on Mississippi justice. But I believe it was his lawyer. So, you know, you're kind of trying to ease him into it and, you know, get some laughs, all that kind of stuff. But Trinidad has always handled it very diplomatically. He was like, you know, it's really hard for a rep to see from there, and you know, it's a tough judgment call, but I think it was. I was like, okay, Trinidad on the record in a court of law.
What did any revelatory information come out specifically from Trinidad when he took the stand that is relevant to other than obviously the case, but I don't know. Did you learn anything basically from that?
I think, I mean, obviously a lot of the case, or of him being on the stand, was to sort of create a, you know, the information of he was really sick when he was at Ferris State, and yeah, it was as bad as we said. I think it's interesting because I don't know. I kind of sat there thinking about it, because I think that he got, so he had like a combination, like all within a couple of years, of like mono, COVID, tonsillitis, and like he was diagnosed with sleep apnea. Like that is a lot of stuff happening at around the same time that is going to impact a guy who's barely, you know, still a teenager during part of that. So I think the first thing happened in like 2019 or 2020 when he was still in high school. You know, he couldn't gain weight. He was like 176 pounds when he got to Ferris State, and you know, now he's up to 205, but it took a lot to get there. I couldn't help but think, like, what if he hadn't been sick in high school? Like, would he have blown up a little bit more, right? Like, yeah, he put up nice numbers, and he was a good player. He was a basketball focused player a lot of it, but you know, what if he was able to get up to 200 pounds? What if he was feeling like healthy and wasn't tired and was able to sleep? Like, would he have been in the position that he was in? Like, what would have changed? You know, I sat there thinking about that a lot. But I mean, there were a lot of strange moments, not with Trinidad, but I mean, we had an NCAA lawyer asking, like, can you define could? And I was like, I think that one's pretty self-explanatory, man. I think I might have groaned. And I don't know if the mics caught it, but I literally was like, we're really doing this. But yeah, I mean, Trinidad is, I also thought it was really interesting too. You know, just with one of the big questions was, you know, if it was so bad, this tonsillitis, because that was a really big part of it. If it was so bad, why did you wait 2 years to get them taken out? Which is a fair question. And you know, there's the argument of, well, yeah, you want to always avoid surgeries whenever you can. But there was a really interesting thing I thought he said too, is, you know, his first couple years, he was a nobody on the team. Like, he's, you know, two red shirts basically. And you know, he didn't really play. He played a little bit his third year before taking over the starter, but you know, he wasn't really an established anything, and he was basically like, I didn't want to have the surgery until I was an established presence on the team, because you know, then you're not afraid to like miss a little bit of time, or you know, have that sort of thing. Like, you know, that's something that takes you out for 2 to 3 weeks at least, and that's then, you know, you have to deal with gaining weight back, and you know, there's, it's not just a couple weeks after the operation. Like, this is a several month situation that he basically said, like, I didn't feel comfortable having it because I wasn't established as somebody on the team yet. And I thought that was really, really interesting. Not something that I necessarily had thought of either.
Right. And, you know, to your point, it's kind of interesting. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you kind of already stated this, where he really just had the one good year or special year at Ferris State, and then he comes to Ole Miss, and there was literally no expectations for him there either. So it's almost like, you know, if not for all these issues, you know, maybe he's come out on the other side, and now he's hitting his stride. I mean, we may have not even seen the best of Trinidad Chambliss.
And that's what they brought a doctor to the stand, because you know, I think they had, there were four witnesses that Trinidad's lawyers brought up, it was a doctor whose specialty is like the neck and tonsils and that sort of thing. Basically, someone who could read his medical records and be an expert on that sort of thing. Joe Judge was one of the witnesses, which I was not expecting, I'm going to be honest. I'm sure, as you know, he went viral for a different reason. Maybe we can get to that a little bit later. I don't really want to get into that right now. But he was basically up there to talk about the importance of development for quarterbacks. And also, as a guy who was a head coach in the NFL, like the importance of sleep and how sleep apnea can, that is a really big thing. You're not going to be your best when you're not able to rest. And they brought his mom up, and they brought Trinidad up. So, but yeah, I think it was the doctor, maybe it was Joe Judge, I don't remember which one, but one of them basically said, like, we are just now getting the best version of Trinidad Chambliss, because high school, his first years of college, there was no way that he could be the best version of himself because of everything that he was going through. And he had the surgery right after the national championship in 2024. I believe it was December 30th, which, I mean, that must have been like days before or days after they won it all. I mean, this is a guy who it's been like a year that he's actually been feeling like himself, and now we are seeing the version. And I don't, listen, I know people develop at different points and growth and coaching and all these. There's a lot of different factors of why somebody blossoms later than other guys do, but it's hard for me to think that, and I think this was the point that his lawyers made, was like, this is a guy who is just now able to be the player who's able to be. And he deserves, the NCAA says that you're allowed to have 4, 5 years to play, 4 seasons, and he hasn't gotten that opportunity yet. And he's a guy that is clearly on the rise and is finally hitting his stride. So yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, even throughout this season, we saw a guy who kept getting better and better and better. Like, the first couple starts, it's like, okay, like, is this a gimmick? Is this, are they going to catch up to him? And then by the end of the year, you have the Georgia game where he has one of the best games I've ever seen, but especially given the circumstances. I mean, that was surreal. That was Superman. That was a, and this one hurts, that was a Vince Young USC performance type thing. I mean, literally put the team on his back. It's hard for me to think that he would have been able to do that a couple of years ago because everything that he was going through. So I do think there's a lot of truth in the fact that he's, I think we're finally seeing who he can be.
Let's take a slight step back. I apologize. I meant to ask you this when we got into the court stuff, but any idea or knowledge of whose decision it was to go this local route? I know it's obviously it's happened at Tennessee now. It's happened at Alabama. Do you have any knowledge if this is like the school's decision? Is this the lawyer's decision? Do you have any knowledge on that?
Without, I have some educated guesses. Listen, if you are trying to win a case in Mississippi, you're going to try to find the home field advantage, right?
Right.
This isn't like a private thing. Like, the judge got his law degree from Ole Miss. That's a fact. You obviously are always trying to put the best case together that you can, regardless of where it's being heard. And of course, the judge is always going to, not insert himself into it and his biases and whatnot. But I mean, listen, if would you rather play a home game, or would you rather go on the road? I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. And that's, again, we're seeing that unfold around the country, where if you are able to have a case be heard, you'd be foolish not to have it in your backyard, because the odds are, listen, you're not always going to win it, as we saw. Bediako, that one didn't turn out the way they wanted. Obviously, a very different situation. But you're going to get your best odds if you have it under those circumstances. So, listen, you might not like the way the game is played, but that's the game. You got to play it the best you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fascinating. I don't know why they weren't doing this sooner, but it's very, very intelligent decision on their calculated, I guess you'd call it. Also, have you ever seen a judge get emotional reading his own verdict? I mean, that was a first for me, but I'm kind of new to this stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I thought he had something stuck in his throat at first, and I was like, okay, maybe he'll take a sip of water, and I'm not just like imagining things. And then he didn't take a sip of water, and I was like, oh nope, I think he's crying. Yeah, you know, again, it does maybe a tough look for the non-biased crowd. You know, again, you expect fairness in court of law and, you know, those sorts of things. I'm not going to try to guess what was going through his head or why his emotions were the way they were. But that was on a very weird day. That was pretty bizarre. And like, we were all looking around. We're like, is he crying? What's happening here? Is he all right? So yeah, at the end of the hour and a half sermon, we got some emotion there, and obviously that went viral. There are two main viral moments. Actually, I guess three, because Trinidad was signing footballs in between breaks, which I was able to catch. I mean, just an out of body experience on a lot of levels. But yeah, it was something.
Hey, you've kind of already alluded to it. Multiple Joe Judge moments, but the one I thought was the best, though, the other one didn't even register with me, quite honestly, but the one that I liked was, you know, they asked him to slow down and speak more Southern, sir. That I thought was great, but everybody else jumped on the, you know, don't help your missus with the baby, but apparently that was taken completely out of context.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not trying to white knight for Joe Judge here, but so I mean the quote was something to the effect of, you know, if you have players, he's talking about his NFL days, you know, if you have players who are sleeping with their newborns, they're not going to get as much rest, and they are not going to be as good as they can possibly be. So he said that, you know, sometimes, you know, you tell your players to sleep in different rooms. So like out of context, like that is not, that's going to make a lot of people really upset. But the context was that they were talking about Trinidad sleep apnea and how trouble sleeping could impact the way that you perform, the way you practice, all those sorts of things. So we started with that. And then we got to Joe Judge basically being like, yeah, like sleep is really important. And like, here's the extent of how important it is. So when you look at the whole thing, it actually like it made sense. But then, you know, only the back part of it made the TikToks and the tweet reels. He had to release a statement the other day. I think it was Notes app, which is always chef's kiss. And I believe he had to turn his mentions off as well, which is always, a good sign. But yeah, I mean, yeah, when he said it, I was like, oh no, this is going to sound really bad. They just clipped this. And of course they did. But I think within the context, again, it's all trying to prove the case that Trinidad was not healthy, and here's how we show it. And it just so happens that there was a quite the viral clip in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can attest to it, Michael. I mean, I didn't get a good night's rest two nights ago, and I'm still not quite myself. So I can't imagine being an elite athlete. But speaking of that elite athlete, Trinidad Chambliss, have you seen this where now following this ruling, he has the second best Heisman odds? Do you think that is a fair assessment for the Ole Miss quarterback?
Yeah, I think number one was Arch, right? Was
that? Yeah.
And which, of course, we're doing this again. but, you know, I mean, he played really well at the end of the year, but I just feel like we did this last year. Alas. I would be hard-pressed to find a better player in the country than Trinidad Chambliss. I mean, Jeremiah Smith, fair. He's incredible. But as far as quarterbacks are concerned, I don't who's better? Like, who else do you want leading your team? He's magical, man. Like the things that he's able to do, you can't coach. Listen, the arm is there. He's accurate. He, for the most part, doesn't put the ball in harm's way. He's good at sort of gambling on when to take the deep shots and when not to. But I mean, those plays he made against Georgia in that fourth quarter, the one where he ran around and pitched the ball to Kiwan, the sprint out 30-yard touchdown, and then the one that set up the game-winning field goal. I mean, those are just, you can have the best talent in the world, but not every quarterback is going to come through in those moments. And Trinidad just has this knack for coming through. The one game he didn't come through was the first game against Georgia. He was terrible in that fourth quarter, and he admitted it. I don't think he had a completion in that fourth quarter. And what did he do? He came back against Georgia the second time and had, I mean, an all-time great game. And yeah, they lost the Fiesta Bowl, but Trinidad gave them the lead with 3 minutes left, in a game that they were getting dominated for a lot of it. I mean, if you were just watching, you're like, God, Miami should be up by like 30, in that game. But Ole Miss just, they hung around, they hung around. And then you have another Trinidad moment where he does it, and you're like, man, this dude, he's just different. So, all that to say, I would be hard pressed to find a better quarterback. Listen, someone might put up better numbers, touchdowns, and there's always that one guy who breaks out and he kind of comes out of nowhere and throws, 40 touchdowns, whatever it is. But I mean, if you are looking for a guy who is just a perfect fit for what Ole Miss does or what a team does, having Trinidad and then of course having Kewon Lacy back there too. I mean, you've got you find me a better backfield. You have two Heisman candidates, two first team All-Americans. I mean, it's going to be pretty, it's always interesting to see when you have two Heisman candidates on the same team. It can always be a little bit weird because it's like, okay, like one guy is going to have a great game at the expense of somebody else, right? But man, it bodes well for Ole Miss. I know the schedule is a little different this year, and it's, last year's was pretty manageable, but when you have Kiwon, who is a top two running back in the country coming back, and then Trinidad, who, again, I don't, you'd be hard pressed to find one better in my eyes. You're gonna have a chance in every game. I think people were a little bit, they weren't sure what to make of Ole Miss because with the Trinidad stuff kind of being in limbo. I think I saw them around like 16-ish. That's fair if you don't know who your quarterback is going to be. With him back, like there's no reason that shouldn't be a top five team. I know you have a new coach who has a team for it's his first time full time, and you have new coordinators. But I know coaching is really important, but players win games, man. And Ole Miss has players that can win them games.
Well, I think you just answered my next question, Michael. But so is it fair to say, this is a playoff or bust? And there's about eight or nine SEC teams that are going to say that annually, and obviously they're not all going to make it. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot saying Ole Miss is going to make the playoff again. But would that be your should that be the expectation you think of what Ole considering what Ole Miss has returning?
Yeah, again, like listen, these Ole Miss just had the best season it's ever had. I mean, that's 13 wins, first CFP appearance, the first top three. I think that the highest postseason ranking since the 60s. I mean, this was truly a special season that has not happened here a lot. And so I think when you look at it like that, to expect them to do that again, I don't know if that's fair because this historically has not been what's happened at Ole Miss. Listen, the 2024 team was supposed to be the good one. The Dard and Trey Harris and Walter Nolan and that team lost three games. That was the team everybody thought was going to do it, not this one. So I think when you look at it like that, I it's to expect them to do what they did again is sort of unfair. But at the same time, when you made the decision to hire Pete Golding, You were going for continuity, right? You were trying to keep the thing rolling the way it had been. And you brought in a new offensive coordinator who does the same stuff Charlie does. You're going to run the same defense. You kept a good amount of assistance and you retained, I know. Listen, you lost Prince Wilhelmina and TJ Dougherty and some other guys, but you kept your most important guys. You kept Kiwan and you kept Trinidad. And I think when you are able to retain pieces like that, there's naturally going to be really high expectations. Like, you don't expect to bring back a top quarterback in college football and take a step backwards. That's just never, I don't think anyone in the Ole Miss, the Manning Center is thinking that way. So, if you look at personnel, they have some questions. Two new offensive tackles, some new receivers. They got to figure out who's going to be their best pass rusher. But Ole Miss has historically done pretty well with filling in gaps. And when quarterback isn't one of those gaps you have to fill in, I think you feel pretty good. And that defense was a work in progress for a lot of last year. It was really bad at times, but towards the end of the year, it was actually pretty. It was solid. It wasn't a liability. Yes, you lost some key pieces, but you also brought in some really talented ones as well. So I think they feel that, maybe in some ways the defense might be better because of just the amount of new pieces that you brought in. And some of those younger guys like Will Eccles and Cam Franklin growing up even more, they were awesome down the stretch. So I think that that combination of things, there's no reason to think like this shouldn't be a team that is in the top 12. Again, anything can happen and the schedule is different and you're every year you listen every year has to you got to look at it independent of the year before and all those sorts of things. But I mean, if you're looking at a roster and you are looking at a program with momentum, Pete Golding's only coached with three games, and he's made a pretty good impression. Again, it's hard, to expect them to win every game, the rest of his tenure isn't fair. But, I think now there's a little bit more faith that, yeah, okay, this guy can coach. You combine that with a talented roster and a quarterback who can do special things. I don't see why this team shouldn't be in the playoff.
And do you anticipate any kind of role whatsoever for Deuce Knight next season, because he's such a gifted athlete, and I'm sure he was well aware when he signed that Trinidad could come back. Because we've had a lot of people asking, well, what's next for him? Is he gonna leave somehow? I can imagine that's on the table. But any idea? Where it's probably too early without spring, but any idea what the role would be for Deuce Knight?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me literally of what's kind of happened at Oregon the last couple of years when they brought in Dante Moore and they brought in Dylan Gabriel. And Dante Moore, who was the starter as a true freshman at UCLA, literally just sat for a year and they learned under Gabriel. And then, Dante Moore got the job and he had a really nice year and he's coming back. And then they just signed Dylan Raiola, who has been a starter at Nebraska for 2 years. And now he knows he's going to sit on the bench. He knew that Dante Moore, there's a chance he'd come back. So it kind of feels like that situation a little bit. I think that, Deuce Knight is, again, there's a reason that he was as highly touted as he was. He's electric. He is an elite talent. But he's coming from a different offense. He's learning a lot of new stuff. I think in a perfect world, Trinidad is kind of showing him the ropes, and then in 2027, there's your guy. Maybe there's maybe if you're trying to take some hits away from Trinidad as a runner, maybe that's something, because Deuce is an elite athlete. I mean, he can go. So maybe that's something that you see. And then again, I think spring ball starts in about a month. We'll know a little bit more then, but this strikes me a lot like the situation in Oregon, where you've got your guy and then you bring in somebody who is uber talented and you have him learn the ropes, so then he is totally ready for that next year.
Yeah, and I certainly think it's fair to question how much coaching Deuce Knight got last season at Auburn. The only coaching, I think.
Your words, not mine.
Well, yeah, at 100%. And I would say the only lessons learned probably from Hugh Freeze is to hide his Instagram reposts.
Oh, boy. I was hoping you'd bring that up.
All right, final thing I got for you on the football team, Michael. I don't know if you've heard this. Probably not, but that's fine. We call them cheat golding. This show is sponsored by Dabo Sweeney. Any chance that Golding is suspended for a game, and if it is, could you see him coaching against Louisville and then sitting the Charlotte one?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's always a chance.
Because that just went away, you know, which it probably should, but it just...
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, that whole thing, I don't think it was really out of the ordinary other than that he named names, right? Mm-hmm. They just normally don't, you know, you accused of tampering and like, oh, man, there's some scumbag teams out there, but they usually don't be like, Pete Golding, I'm talking to you. So that was odd. But, you know, listen, if they're going to make an example of Pete Golding, oh boy, they are going to open up the floodgates because wait till they see what's been happening around the conference and around the country, right? Like, this is just what it is, man. This is college football now. So yeah, I think it was really intense because you actually had a name with it and a coach calling him out man to man. But I mean, could there be some sort of repercussion? Yeah, I just don't see it being much because I think if the NCAA does that, oh boy, they're going to open up some floodgates. I don't think that they want to because you're going to have a lot of receipts from a lot of teams.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, last thing, really appreciate your time. You just wrote about this at the DJ Journal, I believe. Stephen A. coming to town. How excited? And, you got your questions prepared in case the opportunity arises where you get to meet the legend.
Yeah. So Stephen A. I'm sure you know the context for anybody who doesn't. A couple months ago, when Lane was deciding, it was in limbo of Gainesville or Baton Rouge. Stephen A. made some, shall we say, unsavory comments about Oxford and basically intonated that young black athletes aren't coming to Oxford, Mississippi, and that it is easier to recruit to Baton Rouge and Gainesville. And a lot of people took exception with that, including Paul Feinbaum and including Ole Miss women's basketball coach Yolette McPhee McEwen. And she went on his show, the Stephen A. Smith show, and they had a wonderful conversation. You know, it's one thing when he says something, but it's one thing when you actually get a chance to respond. And I think that credit to him for bringing her on, because if you know Coach Yo, you know she's going to bring it. I mean, she's not going to hold back. So they had a great conversation, and he said, like, you know, if my schedule allows it, I'm coming out to a game. And he literally listed games, and he's like, you got a stretch of Tennessee, Vanderbilt, LSU, South Carolina. He's like, I'm going to try to go to that LSU game. So here we are with the LSU game checks calendar tomorrow. And he was on First Take today, and he said the reason he's not going to be at the Knicks game tomorrow is because he's coming out here. And I have confirmed that he is actually coming out here. So, you know, listen, it's Ole Miss LSU. It's a ranked matchup. LSU, no love lost between those two organizations. Doesn't matter what sport it is right now. That's always going to be fun. You add in Stephen A, you know, you're trying to make Stephen A, you want Stephen A to leave with a good impression of Oxford. So I think it's going to be packed. I think it's going to be great for the pavilion. I'm hoping I get to chat with them. If nothing else, I've been listening to Stephen A forever. I think he is the entertainer of all entertainers. I want to ask him about a couple of Lakers that he had beef with back in the day. Kwame Brown, one of them. I'm sure you remember the rant. Also, I don't know if you remember when he, on his show, people would just ask like really random questions and he would have to answer them. And there was one where it was like, which Pokemon are you taking? And he has no idea what these things are. And he's like, he looks like a fighter. And I'm just like, okay, I got to ask Stephen A. if he has any new thoughts on Pokemon. But no, I mean, I'd love to ask him, you know, have his perceptions changed at all? You know, what made you actually want to follow through with this? Because I think a lot of people would say they're going to make the trip, but they never do. It's easy to say, I'm gonna make it down there, and then you say, "Ah, you know what? Dang, I'm really busy." But you know, credit to him, assuming that he does actually show up. Yeah, you gotta hand it to him. I'll be interested to see if they put him on the Jumbotron. I think that will be a hell of a moment if that happens. Trinidad got a lot of applause the other day when they showed him during the men's basketball game because it was like right after the court stuff. But a Stephen A sighting, that's gonna be electric.
Yeah. Oof. Hopefully he's sitting next to Lane Kiffin. All right, Michael, really
Actually, someone brought that up. They're like, "What if Lane shows up?" And I was like, "Find me the highest building in Oxford." I'm not doing this. Absolutely not.
right, Michael, again, thank you so much for your time. Before you go, tell the audience how to follow you and how to check out all your outstanding work at the DJ Journal covering Ole Miss.
Yeah, so you can follow me on, I guess we call it X, at Michael L. Katz. That's Katz. And then you can go to djournal.com and find my stories on Stephen A. Smith, which is something that I didn't think I was going to be writing when I woke up this morning. But this job takes you, as I've learned the last couple weeks, in a lot of different directions that you'd never expected.
Okay, perfect. I'll cut it right there.